Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
But we continue with the conversation we had regarding the Takis case, right? Takis Boltong versus Takis Fuego, the creators of a tortilla brand, which essentially are still trading, though they should not, and distributing their Mexican tortilla chips, despite the fact that they've actually lost a court ruling regarding a trademark protection in favor of Takis Boltong, essentially saying that this does lead to deception and confusion for us as South African consumers. And maybe you can share your thoughts on this particular story. We'd be happy to get your thoughts. But as mentioned, there's a lot to learn from this particular Takis trademark lesson. And this is something that we're going to discuss now with Tim Ball, partner at Weber Wenzel, to help us unpack an understanding of trademarks. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Fibonacci.
Oh, this is going to be a very informative conversation, I can tell. And I think it's one that is really critical for many entrepreneurs and business owners to hear. But let's talk about, I guess, the role, purpose and function of trademarks. As we heard our earlier guest, Dougie Aristides, explain, it almost works as a form of insurance and has come in to help the business, albeit they are perhaps exasperated by the lack of outcomes. But trademarks help us understand the importance for institutions, brands, and businesses.
A trademark is really a sign that is that serves the function of distinguishing the goods or services of one trader from the goods of another trader. So that when you see that trademark on the goods, you recognize it as coming from a particular source. Even if you don't know what that source is, you know that two items with that trademark are the same, you know, come from the same place, and you may have expectations on the kind of goods, the quality of goods, and you know those goods. When you see that trademark, you know that's the product you want, or that's the product you don't want.
And I'm glad that you say that it's basically an identifier, right? And can prove to be critical to various businesses, given the association consumers or an audience makes with their brand.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we've probably all experienced cases where you are confused and you think that you're getting one product and you take it off the shelf and you get it home and it's not what you thought it was.
Yeah.
So trademarks protect traders from other people essentially riding on their reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And they also protect consumers, that consumers should be able to know what they're getting and not be confused and tricked by unscrupulous traders.
Definitely. And we've seen similar cases of this nature, the likes of the Toblerone chocolate, Mondelez, and another business called Poundland also found themselves in an interesting trademark debacle regarding the design of the Twin Peaks of the chocolate and the little pyramids, as they described. Kit Kat as well, I've recently read, couldn't actually trademark its four-finger chocolates in the EU specifically. So these cases can go either way, but help us contextualize it from a South African perspective. The registration process, how, when, and what kind of trademark should be considered to be registered, and does it ultimately lead to a benefit in protection for the business at hand?
Sure. Well, maybe just to start with the... let me go. So there is a serious advantage in registering a trademark.
Mm-hmm.
The Trademarks Act provides certain rights for the holder of a registered trademark to enforce trademark registration against somebody else who enters the market or uses a trademark which is similar in a way that will lead to confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And the trademark owner doesn't have to prove that it has a reputation in this mark. All they've got to show is that they have a trademark registration, and then they will be able to to stop somebody else from making use of a confusingly similar trademark.
Mm. A question.
Where it helps most particularly. So there, it is possible if you are using a trademark and you don't have it registered and you build up a reputation and goodwill in that trademark, you become that becomes associated with your product. It is possible to have common law rights against passing off, which is, you know, someone else using something similar and tricking consumers into thinking that your product is their product or that you're somehow associated together. Mm-hmm. But then you have to prove that you have their reputation. And, you know, the moment you have a dispute and you have to find evidence to show that customers know that trademark as being yours, it's much more expensive, time consuming. Mm. And, you know, you can say that, well, you know, registering a trademark may be expensive, but the moment you're in a dispute, you will save far more than just the cost of a trademark registration by having that registration.
Are you able to disclose how much it does cost to actually register a trademark? Just a range.
It's a few thousand rand. Mm-hmm. For filing the application and depending on what happens with that application and whether you have to respond to official actions by the trademark examiner, you know, that can add to the cost. And if it's opposed, if the registration is opposed by somebody else, then it effectively becomes litigation and that is considerably more expensive.
Mm. And the process, I'm assuming, can also be extended depending on the kind of pushback you might receive or the updates on the process as you described.
Yes, it can be long. I mean, ideally, we should be talking 12 to 18 months. Wow. and that does happen. But there are many cases where it goes on much longer than that. And there are many cases, you know, as the moment it's opposed and then you're into litigation, it can take years to finalize that process. Mm.
As we do see in the Takis trademark case, Biltong versus the tortilla chips of the South African brand versus the Mexican brand that we witness. And Tim, as we understand, the registration process has become quite familiar to many South Africans. CIPC, there's a necessary process and documents that need to be filed. Application needs to be lodged. And as you said, depending on the uniqueness of the trademark, there are various processes that you might go through or experiences you could have through the process. What I'm keen to get to are your thoughts on, as you say, it can really help businesses in time of actually facing litigation, but does it yield the required protection? As we look at the Takis Biltong case, they still see their competitor essentially selling their goods, I guess illegally in South Africa, given that Takis Fuego lost their trademark case in South Africa.
Yes. I mean, that is really a consequence of the legal system and having to go through courts to enforce one's rights. Mm-hmm. I certainly sympathize with your previous guest on that. Mm.
We do. And I guess, are there any alternatives? This is a clear or good example of, finding ways of further protection. And maybe that's what we also need to interrogate. If there are other aspects of the law that actually work hand in hand with trademark protection to further elevate the level of trademark protection in South Africa.
Yes. Look, if one discovers an infringement of a trademark or if you discover it promptly when it starts, there is a possibility of getting an urgent interdict, and that would then exclude the infringer from the market while further court proceedings are carrying on. So then instead of fighting them while they're in the market, they get excluded from the market. And then if they want to get back into the market, then they must contest the trademark owner's rights. Also, what would help is if your previous caller had discovered the Mexican trademark owner, if they had discovered their registration earlier or before it was registered, and had opposed the registration of that trademark, they would have been in a better position. Obviously, for an individual to monitor the trademark, the journal, and for publications, you know, that that may be a difficult thing. Also, I'm a little surprised that mark went through to registration. And wasn't that there wasn't an objection by the trademark examiner.
Exactly. I'm glad you mentioned that. Whose responsibility would that be? I guess the owner of the trademark, being the brand, the company, or are there additional processes where examiners are put in place to actually evaluate new applicants?
Yes, they are. The CIPC has trademark examiners who do examine a trademark application against other marks that are on the register. And then even if the examiner then accepts the application, it's then published for opposition. So the acceptance is advertised, and there's a period for anyone else who has a ground of objecting to the registration to then oppose the registration.
Aha, I see. So that should have taken place. I'm also keen to understand, given that this is a brand that is being imported, it's not a local brand. Takis Fuego is from Mexico. And as we heard our previous guest explain, it's actually being brought into the market versus Takis Biltong, which is manufactured in South Africa. I would assume that there would be additional legal factors that could actually apprehend the trade and importing, rather, of this particular product. Is that not the case, or how else does the law interpret it?
Yeah. There are also procedures for to deal with counterfeit goods, which are really it may be that that this product would count as counterfeit goods and could be seized under the Counterfeit Goods Act when it's brought into the country. But that may not help so much with goods that are already
in
the country.
Yeah. And on that note, does it mean that on the back of the trademark case that any retailer perhaps selling Takis Fuego brands, which have lost the case and are not recognized in terms of the trademark, are selling that illegally? Help us make sense.
Well,
of it.
They would be infringing trademark rights. Mm-hmm. The thing is that it's difficult with the kinds of goods that are sold through small outlets to go and chase it everywhere. Mm. You know, it's a thing that this is one case where it's much easier to be up against an established and big opponent where you can hold them accountable in one set of proceedings. Mm-hmm. Where here, you know, you're chasing, it's a whack-a-mole game where you're trying to catch it everywhere and it disappears and then you find out where it comes up next.
100%. And I'm glad that you highlight this because it does help us understand the complexities then in the value chain. Our previous guest mentioned that there are at least 5 importers, from what they understand, who are bringing the product in. So as you say, it's a mole chase versus one particular stream or value chain that one can hold accountable. And I guess as we wrap up, Tim, there's a lot of lessons we can learn from this case. And this is perhaps what makes commercial law so interesting, right? Is that there's always a nuance to the view. But what are the key takeaways that entrepreneurs need to have when it comes to registering a trademark? And most importantly, as we go forward, again, using the Tuckey's trademark case as an example, are there lessons perhaps that can be implemented by other aspects of legal structures rather in South Africa, whether it be the tax authorities, what we see in terms of beyond taking it through justice, but even arrests and confiscation of these particular goods. In other words, making sure that the ecosystem works with the value chain, regardless of its structure.
Sure. But if I were to give one takeaway lesson, I would suggest that when choosing a trademark, that an entrepreneur chooses a trademark that is going to be distinctive. People are often tempted to choose trademarks that are very descriptive, and those kinds of trademarks are much more difficult to register. And if one does get a descriptive mark registered, it's much more difficult to enforce. Mm-hmm. So as a takeaway message, I would say choose something that is not just the word for the goods.
I see what you mean. Not just the word, but more descriptive in your response. To close off with, Tim, as we mentioned, getting more aspects or arms of the law to work hand in hand with the value chain of protection of trademarks, especially as it differs from sector to sector.
I'm not sure how much more can be done as far as coordination amongst law enforcement. This is mostly a case of enforcing rights between traders. The court system is really the slow link in the chain here.
Uh-huh, got you. Okay. And I'm assuming that's because it's not holding Tuckey's Fuego accountable in terms of penalties or fines for contravening the Trademark Act or prohibition. Your thoughts, Tim?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. Look, the thing is that proving damages in this kind of case is very difficult. So the real remedy is an interdict that is a court order to stop somebody selling.
Perfect. Tim, it's definitely been a story and a case that I think we're all learning from, and appreciate that you've held our hand in understanding the complexities of trademark registration in South Africa. A few complications and complexities, rather, but definitely one that is necessary for many businesses, especially perhaps if they are likely looking to grow a level of relevance for a particular brand. And as you've shown us, it can be successful in South Africa. We've seen some markets across the globe which have also implemented similar policies, and there's a bespoke view and approach that needs to be taken. Thank you again for your time, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Tim Ball, partner at Weber Wenzel. We've been discussing the Tuckey's trademark as a business case, essentially evaluating lessons that we all need to learn when it comes to registering trademarks in South Africa. How they can work to your protection and leverage as a business owner, understanding how long it takes, what the process entails, but also understanding the complexities of actually holding losing parties to account. As we've clarified, Tuckey's Biltong is registered as a trademark in South Africa. They've won a legal court case and battle over 8 years in order to protect that particular registration. Tuckey's Fuego, the purple tortilla chips producer, is actually operating in against that particular trademark. So we have yet to see how this will unfold. But as we've heard from the Biltong producer, they are looking to continue to challenge this in various ways to make sure that the protection of their trademark is protected. Takis Fuego trading in contravention of that particular trademark. Essentially, as we heard from our earlier guest, illegally. It's 17 minutes to 8 o'clock. We're looking forward to hearing your views on this story. Yeah, we've been learning a lot today.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.